Morning, everyone. Few announcements. First, I want to welcome Pastor Bill back again. And Bill is going to be here every second Sunday of the month for the rest of the year. And a couple of months, he's going to be here on the third Sunday. So I want to thank Bill for coming out and doing that. We have a new classes supervisor, and his name is Bart Kiefer. He's the minister of the Waynefleet Church. He is E.J. DeWard's brother-in-law. He's going to be our new supervisor. And on Friday, the doctor gave me some, I keep telling everybody, bad news and good news. The bad news is I got to be at the hospital for 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not looking forward to that. The surgery's at 7:30. He said it's going to take about an hour and 15 minutes. But the good news is I can come home that day, and I'll be ready for golf season. So that's my good news. So, and I don't have anything else.
And thank you, Tony, for sharing that. The sound is on, and we look forward to worshiping the Lord on this developing process in the season of Lent. Hard to believe that next Sunday is the first full Sunday in spring already, because that we changed our clocks this weekend. We change our seasons next Saturday already. And then 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, we have Palm Sunday on the 28th of March. You see the bulletin announcement about lilies there. And then the following Friday is Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday on April 4th. And I look forward to being here on the 11th, the Sunday after that. And I always really appreciate that Sunday after Easter, because then we find out through Scripture with Thomas and the people on the road to Emmaus that there is a good opportunity for a second chance before the Lord returns. So as we worship the Lord this morning, we do so, first of all, with God's greeting, but also my greeting from myself and from my wife, Kathy. Kathy, about I think it's every 2 weeks or every three Sundays, works out to more about every two Sundays, she does the sign language at a church close to us, because not everyone is allowed to sing in the churches yet, and so she shares in that. If not, she'd be here with me, but she gives her greetings. But we also realize that as we worship the Lord, we have the greeting that comes from the Lord, the greeting we hear in realizing that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Grace to you and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have our call to worship in our bulletin, and then we have an interesting litany that marks the one-year anniversary of the COVID lockdowns. And there are a lot of words there, but there's a lot of depth in it too. There's longer portions that we each read, that I'll read, and then we'll read together in that litany following the call to worship. So I hope you all have a bulletin, and we'll follow along and share in that. So our call to worship comes from Psalm 9, where we hear, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praise of the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done." Before the litany, we're going to come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this worship time, this Sunday morning, this last Sunday in the official season of winter. Lord, we thank you for the sunshine that we saw and the warmth that we felt so much this week. But we thank you even more for the light of your Word, your Spirit, your Son in your creation. Lord, we pray that as we share in this litany about COVID, that numbers would soon go down. Lord, we've heard there's a third wave. We know that there's mental health issues that we have to deal with. But Lord, we know that first and foremost, we can turn to you. And you meet our needs sometimes even before we express them. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the many seniors who have already had their first COVID vaccination. And we pray that they would be effective. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with those whose minds are troubled or worried, those whose minds are so hopeful. Lord, may all of these things come to rest in you. Thank you, Lord, for this day and all who are here and who can participate in worship, whether at home or here at Emmanuel. Amen. So the litany that's in the bulletins. The litany for the one-year anniversary of the COVID lockdowns. 1 year ago, we gathered together to worship and pray. We gathered vaguely aware of the changes and fears happening around us. We gathered as carefully as we could, clinging to our usual ways of being together, ignorant of the rapidity of change, ignorant of the fragility of our lives. 1 year ago, pandemic swept across the globe. Little could we have imagined what would change, how fast it would change, how strange it would feel, and just how long it would go on. 1 year on, it seems important to pause, to give space to notice not only where we have come from, but where we are and where we are going. Together,
we pause to name our losses and griefs. We pause to acknowledge our anger, our fatigue, our frustration, and our fear. We pause to remember what is missing, what has been altered, the things we long for.
Let us pray. Where are you, O God? We are lost in the night. Have you cast us from your presence? Temptations surround us. Their masks grin through the darkness. We run from them, but which way should we go? Where can we hide when it lies in shadows? Have mercy on us, O God. Our eyes are swollen from tears. Our bones are cold with fear. Our souls have been broken. Do you not hear, Lord? Save us. According to your steadfast love, answer us. Do not hide your face, but draw near and redeem us.
We pause to name the lessons we have learned, the new skills, values, and abilities that have come with adaptability. We pause to look around, to be reminded of what is most precious, the values that we have recovered, the spaces we have found anew, the reminders of what really matters most in this life.
We are reminded how far we have come by faith alone. Through our tired trudging and our cheeks damp with tears, we catch a glimpse of your presence, your love, your hope. And so we pause to catch our breath, to rest a moment before continuing the journey. While we grieve, we are grateful. While we weep, may we also dance as we look to the promises of your Son. Today, we pause. Give us the strength that we need to continue the journey together in faith. And let's close in prayer. Gracious God, you lead your people through the wilderness. You led them and brought them to the promised land. So guide us that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Guide and strengthen our steps as we lean upon you. As we walk through the valley, lift our eyes to the mountains. Unite us, connect us, strengthen us, and guide our footsteps, we pray. Amen. And now we will stand and sing The Mighty Power of God. Seated. I had a pretty nice drive this morning, but it sure was almost breathtaking and a good reminder of the season we're in as I went through three whiteouts on the way here, one near the 427, one near the 400, and one just a little bit closer, and then how quickly the sun broke through. I think of the scripture verses that tell us that our sins are like crimson, and he washes us whiter than snow. And in most winters, we have piles of snow still around. We've had a pretty mild winter. And as those piles melt, we see what's left below them. Some of the dirt and dust and things that have blown away or been hidden or become revealed. Let's remember when we come before God that he knows our hearts. He knows our sin. He knows the things we do that we shouldn't do and the things we have done or not done that we should have done. He knows us already, but yet we are called to confess. Confess our sins, confess the Lord Almighty, and confess and realize once again the power of what God did for us at Good Friday, at Easter, and then even through with Ascension and with Pentecost. So let's come before God in the prayer that we pray together, saying, Most merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, we confess before you our sinfulness. We have hungered after what satisfies. We have complied with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore us truth and love, that we may walk in your way and delight in doing your will. Two awesome verses from Psalm 91. Hear the word of the Lord. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Those who love me I will deliver, says the Lord. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them and show them my salvation. Receive the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. So let's now answer how we are saved. Heidelberg Catechism question answer number 20. Are all saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam? No, only those who are saved, who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his blessings. If you have difficulty with understanding or wondering where some of the things from the Heidelberg Catechism come, most of these questions and answers are accompanied by two or three Bible verses that these are just a summary of. Feel free to ask someone here, and I'm sure they can provide you a copy so that you can see that. Also realize that when we confess our sins and we hear the assurance of pardon, we can also be challenged to be reminded of the fact that Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Let's come before the Lord in prayer. So far, we're going to particularly pray for some of the things you have in your bulletin, for Tony with the operation, for those who have special needs, long-term care and health workers, and for the upcoming Zoom congregational meeting, and some of the other things that are in our bulletin. Let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when your Son went into the temple on that first Palm Sunday, day after, he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Lord, may we be not only in a house of prayer, but may we be called people of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can, first of all, give you praise and honor and glory. You are our Father. You are in heaven. We can honor you and hallow your name. Lord, we thank you that we can pray for others, as we see there are many in our prayer corner. Lord, we can pray for one another, as we see the list of people who are there too. We pray, Lord, that as we remember these people, that you would help them to know that they are being prayed for as well. May we be people who not only pray, but may we remember to let people know when we pray for them. Lord, we thank you that you always hear and answer our prayers, sometimes with a yes, sometimes, Lord, in your wisdom, with a no, but so often with the wait. And then help us to remember that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Lord, we pray for the consistory meeting coming up just this week. Lord, we pray for the different pastors who are preaching here, particularly with Good Friday and Easter coming. Lord, we pray for those in long-term care facilities in different places. We pray for healthcare workers that we know of, and many others as well. Lord, we want to pray for Tony and what's coming up this coming Friday, that you'd be with the doctors and nurses and healthcare providers. Lord, we pray for the different ministries of this church and of our denomination, particularly with the moving of the General Synod meeting once again. We pray that you'd be with delegates who are there, and that decisions that would honor you and please you and looking to you would be what would prevail. We pray for Camp Shalom as they intend to have a safe summer and a good summer, doing things as best the circumstances allow. Lord, we want to continue to pray for whatever physical, spiritual, emotional, mental needs that we have within ourselves, our families, our church, and our extended friendship and family circles as well. Lord, we pray that the numbers for COVID would soon continue to go down and that the vaccines would provide the relief and the hope that we pray will come. But Lord, until then, help us to be prudent and to listen well to what we need to. Lord, we thank you for the way that you are bringing good things out of and even during this pandemic. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can pray for and realize the special needs of the elderly and those who are frontline workers. We pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, we pray that we might remember the poor, the oppressed, the needy. We might remember the places where we have missionaries and where people are sharing your word in particularly challenging circumstances. Lord, we want to continue to pray for our own neighborhoods, for Whitby, for Ontario, for Canada, for our neighbors to the south and the needs they have. Lord, we pray that we might be a people of prayer, but that we might also hold one another up in different practical and other ways, praying first, but also reaching up and reaching out in your name. Lord, we thank you that in just a few moments we can read your word here together this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd be with your people all over this city, province, country, and world. Lord, particularly when we look to you and see the need that we have and the blessing, the calling, the life that you offer. Lord, we pray that you would answer the prayers that only come within the cries of our own hearts, the needs that are there. But also, Lord, we have joys and things we're looking forward to. Lord, we pray that you would bless those too, and may we be people who are ready to give an answer for the reason, for the hope that lies within us as we try to be a light, to share that light, to live that light, to let that light shine that people may see our good deeds and give glory to you, our Father in heaven. And now, Lord, guide us as we pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Spirit of the living God. There is the Bible verse that says, May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. In that spirit, let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, we pray that as we think about the daily steps we take, the thoughts we have and the things we do, your word would be that light. Lord, we also pray that it would be a light for our path. When we look ahead into the future, with its challenges, with its blessings, with how fast time goes by, we pray, Lord, that your word would be a lamp unto our path also. Father, we pray that as your word also says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit's guidance, your word would find a place in our minds and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that your word would give us not only knowledge, but also how we can live it out with our voices and our hands and our feet. Lord, may we be true to what your Spirit calls us to. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that gave your word thousands of years ago. May your same Holy Spirit guide us to understand it, live it, and apply it today. Lord, we pray that you'd be with all of your churches, whether around the corner or around the world, who look to you in spirit and in truth. So now, Lord, enlighten your word by your Spirit's leading.
to what you call us to. Amen. For our scripture readings this morning, we have a lot of them. I'd like to read two psalms because of what they say to one another back to back. And then as we take a look at those, and I'll address how I feel they speak to us through this pandemic, through this Lent time, it has a particular focus in Mark 10, verse 32 to 34, and Luke 9, verse 51. So beginning with Psalm 72. When it comes to Psalm 73, I'm just going to read a few select verses. So the word of the Lord, Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon. Through all generations, he will be like rain falling on the mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. Going down to verse 12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Verse 18. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Now Psalm 73, beginning at verse 3, then verse 10, 19, and 26 to 29. Psalm 73. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 10. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. Verse 16. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. And the final verse, verse 28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Then Mark chapter 10. And here's where more of the Lent account becomes clear. Mark 10, verse 32 to 34. When they were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him.
3 days later, he will rise. And then a final verse from Luke 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The word of the Lord. May he add his blessing to all who hear and who read and who apply it. So we have some different readings in front of us. Readings that I'd like to take some time to open up. But I think I want to start with the question of Nathanael and the question of COVID. Because the challenges are changing. The road seems long, but in this Lent time, the challenges are changing. Nathanael had heard from his brother about this Jesus. And Nathanael heard where Jesus was from, and he said, Nazareth? Can any good thing come from there? And sometimes with COVID, we have a similar question. COVID? Can any good thing come from there? Well, they say we're in a third wave. And I think in my area, we might experience a little bit more of that because the last few days, the numbers went up with these variants. Can any good thing come from this? I think I mentioned last time, I sure hope that this time round, or the second or third time, that we take better care of some of our seniors in the long-term care facilities. And I really wonder whether people will come to Christ and back to the church, because I've seen some numbers that say the numbers who anticipate going back are less. But I've also heard that the pandemic that we have is going to be replaced almost immediately by a second pandemic, one of mental health. And when people realize the mental health needs that those around them have, I wonder if that won't be a call for us to be ready all the more to give a reason for the hope that we have. I pray that it would bring people to the Lord. And I pray that our faith, the Lord within us, our Christian responses, our churches, ourselves, we'll leave this time of lament. That's what the prayer began with, the responsive reading that we have from our Reformed Church. I believe that after that lament, we can go further because Psalm 72 also has that lament. It talks about the messianic agenda, the poor and the needy being at the top of the list. But then it moves from there, Psalm 73, to complain that the rich just seem to be getting their own way as usual. But then at the very end of Psalm 73, after that messianic agenda of Psalm 72, comes Psalm 73, but then it begins, or it ends, it ends by saying, but I will tell of your deeds. And really, when we look at Psalm 72 and 3 together, we kind of get glimpses of what ought to be, looking for those who have particular needs and struggles and looking for the Lord to help in meeting those needs. It goes from glimpses of what ought to be to struggling with the way that things are right now, right here. And I think in this Lent season, we do that as well. We look at where things need to be and where we are. And Jesus does that with the disciples too, because it's rather strange the mixed feelings that Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd have as they're getting close to Jerusalem just before the time of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter. The disciples and Jesus and the people are walking up to Jerusalem. The disciples are astonished. Well, a lot of times we are too, but what are the disciples astonished about? The Bible doesn't say. We can read the verses before this, and it might be about those teachings that Jesus just shared, they were astonished. Were they astonished, perhaps, that Jesus was going so resolutely towards Jerusalem, and they thought, this can't be good, because they knew what was happening in Jerusalem. They knew the plans that some had been laying for Jesus to come to trial for what he's saying and doing. Why are you going to Jerusalem? The followers had a different set of feelings. The followers, we read in God's word, were afraid. Doesn't say what they were afraid about, though. Were they afraid about their own lives? Because many of them had had that messianic hope that Jesus would restore the people of God to what they had been during the time of David. So we have astonished disciples, followers who are afraid, the hope for what Jesus might become, to doubting what could come good out of the plans that they knew were there for Jesus because of what the leaders felt about him. So Jesus does something very interesting. He does this when I'm here on the 11th. I want to share what Jesus did with Thomas and what he said, what Jesus did with the people on the road to Emmaus and what he said. Jesus stops and takes them aside, and he teaches them something important. And I think we need to do that too in the busyness of all that goes on, whether it's COVID or family lives. We need to stop and say, Lord, what does your word say? What are you telling us? We need to pray for God's leading in that. So Jesus, right then and there, takes aside the 12. He's resolutely on his way to Jerusalem. He's leading to Jerusalem. The words imply that he's almost leading, not forcefully, but he's not just going with the crowd. He's directing and leading them in a stronger way than he had before. So he takes the 12 aside and tells them. He tells them exactly what is going to happen. And yet they seem so astonished when Good Friday comes, and then when Easter comes. He tells them straight out, he will be betrayed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will betray him. He will be condemned to death and then handed over from those Jewish chief priests and teachers of the law. He'll be handed over from them because they can condemn him, but they can't carry it out. They will hand him over to the Gentiles, the Romans. They will mock and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And then we get to a stage like happens at the end of Psalm 73. After all of that struggling in Psalm 73 with the way things actually are, after Jesus tells them so clearly what will happen, in Psalm 73, I will tell of your deeds, says the psalm writer. Here, Jesus says, after all of this, what will happen? Not in a long time, but we have these six words. 3 days later, he will rise. So he's saying what they're going to do to him, the Son of Man, and then he's saying to him, the Son of Man, 3 days later, he will rise. I really am certain that they didn't get it. They knew by their astonishment and fear that they were going into a place of trouble. Though they had great hope, 3 days later, he will rise. He's speaking clearly of himself. Well, what about this Lent season? The challenges are changing, and we need to look to Christ's death and resurrection and things around us. And let's not miss it. Because last year we missed Easter, didn't we? There was no Good Friday service. There was no Sunday Easter service. I'm fairly sure you didn't have one here either, because that was the beginning of COVID, just a few weeks before that. This year we have the blessing. It looks like we will have Good Friday and Easter. The challenges are changing. The physical challenges of COVID, what a blessing. I almost want to be brave and say, how many seniors have your shot? Some of the physical challenges with COVID are lessening. How many seniors had a chance to have their inoculation ready? Well, praise God. I think you still have one more to follow through with it, right? It's the double one, isn't it? And then in 4, 6, or 8 weeks, you get your second one. Well, the physical challenges are changing because there's hope now that the vaccines are coming quicker. Maybe not as quick as we want to, but they are coming quicker. The physical challenges are changing. But I think that the mental challenges are going to show their head a little bit more. We'll look back and there were deaths and there were births and there were special family events that all got missed. There are people who have had COVID and have been in that isolation, that difficult place, that are coming back and they're going to need some attention and help and care. They say 20% of those who have had COVID will need some kind of mental health assistance. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and Luke 9, verse 51, points us to Jesus' attitude that he is sharing and showing as he goes. Luke 9, 51, as the time approached. The time means his death and resurrection. Luke 9, 51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. Notice it doesn't point to his death on the cross, Good Friday. It's not pointing to Easter. It's not pointing to Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's pointing to 10 days after. It's pointing to his ascension. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, and keep in mind, heaven is where Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus set out on the course that he was to face. Jesus set out for that Holy Week time, that time when he would endure all of what would lead up to Good Friday. We call that the Passion Week. Jesus resolved, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And I think we need to pause there sometime because we need to resolve as well too. We're getting through some of the physical danger, threat of COVID. Not that a third wave won't happen. Not that we're going to deal for a long time with, are more vaccinations coming or less? But we need to resolve as well. Let's resolve this Easter 2021 that all the more we will understand what Jesus did for us and all the more commit ourselves to being a light, to being salt, as I shared when I was here last. Because let's be honest, a lot of people are getting weary of politicians, weary of what's being said daily from the Ontario government and the Canadian government. Getting weary of what's going on, and we sure hope that we can travel again, that we can get out there again. And there are more people that are saying now, hey, in a couple months, we're going to be back to the roaring 20s. People will be spending and hugging and traveling and hoping and having outings and celebrating again. Well, maybe so, but let's also resolve that through the challenges that are coming, because they're changing, through the anticipation that's coming, because it changes too, that we'll have that not simply thread, but that whole life trajectory that says, Lord, this time and these days and our lives are in your hands, and until you come back, show us, Lord, how to be salt and to be light. Let's resolve in the days and hours and years that the Lord has given us to reflect, to be a beacon. I'm also praying that God will give us Jeremiah's or Joshua's or Joseph's, Christian leaders in a foreign land, you might say, in a difficult time, that will do the will of the Lord, that we can stand alongside. As we come out of this pandemic, will our faith also come out? Psalm 73 ends, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. I think we need to pray that these words in Psalm 73 can be our words too. Can we tell of your deeds? And I'd like to challenge you with something as you think of that. As you look back through the pandemic, I've yet to find any authors that are spending time saying, Lord, what good has come from this pandemic? I've had about 60 students in my substitute. I'm a substitute teacher the last year, and I do pulpit supply regularly. But I've asked a lot of students what good has come out of the pandemic. It's quick and easy to say, oh, we miss our social activities, our friendship gatherings, our family gatherings, our sports. But they're so glad to be back in school. But I've challenged every class I substitute teach, because I've got my Ontario license to teach, but I teach just in Christian schools. And in the many classes I've taught the past weeks, this past week I had a full five-day week, taught every day a different class. No, one class was 2 days in a row. It's amazing how many teachers need to quickly get COVID shots, and then, not COVID shots, they need to get the, to find out if they have COVID because they've had some exposure or they've got some little cough. Well, then teachers take a day or two off because they have to find out. It takes that long to get the results, and then they need substitute teachers. So as I've been in those classes, I've snuck 5 minutes out of their snack time or their recess time or their, not recess time, or their opening time and saying, tell me how COVID is going for you. Tell me how your class and your family is doing. And it doesn't take too long before one will shyly put up their hand and then a few more. And then I pass them out 3x5 cards, you know, the cue cards, right? And I'll say, let's think about what good thing has come out of this. And a lot of them will give a pretty standard answer, say, oh yeah, extra time at home or things like that. But every few students, I'll get an answer a bit deeper. And some will say, oh, my mom told me how to cook. My dad said that he built a rink because we can't go other places and we'll have a skating rink now in our backyard. But some of them will say some things that are pretty deep. I never realized how much my little sister needs to be read to and really likes it. Or, I really missed school. They can write that on a card quicker than they'll say it. Who wants to say in front of their friends, I missed school? Not too many. But I've got about 50 or 60 nice responses from students who can label good things that have come out of the pandemic, and in spite of, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. All things work together for those who love the Lord. Before the pandemic is over, can we label some things that God has done that might not have happened hadn't it have been for the pandemic? I'm not trying to make it into a good thing, but it can be a godly thing if good comes out of it, because God will use it for good. We just don't know how yet. And I pray that we can and we will start placing it in our hearts and minds, our prayer and planning, our dreams and our aspirations to be resolved. Jesus knew he was facing his death. He knew he was going to be beaten and spit upon and all that stuff. And he resolved to walk through it. Walk through with what he had to do. What are we called to do? We're called to walk through the pandemic too, but to let the love of the Lord shine through us in it. It's really hard to figure out how to balance boldness and humbleness before God and before others. I'm not simply saying that we need to do more, but maybe we need to find those God moments, those good moments, and to have some deeper conversations as people ask, how are you doing? I think sometimes when I visit old age homes or older people or people who are sick or people who I think need help, have you ever done that? You go to visit someone and you want to find out how they're doing, and more often than not, you leave and that person has given you something. They've taught you something or shown you an attitude or shown you some hope that you thought they needed help, and you ended up leaving inspired. So how can we let our light shine in such a way that they will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven? I think we do that by rereading the last verses in some of the things I shared. And that is, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. The last verse in Psalm 73. the last verse of what Jesus said when he took his disciples aside on the way to Jerusalem. 3 days later, he will rise. Looking at what Jesus did, he resolved, set out resolutely for Jerusalem. What is our Jerusalem? I pray that during this lockdown, as we leave COVID and its variants, we will find ways we can look back and say, Lord, how have you used this? How can you use me? Maybe we need to realize that Jesus also takes us aside to teach us what we need to learn. If you look to God's word and ask for his Spirit's leading, he will have something to teach you for your head, make you feel for your heart, or give you for your hands and your feet and your voices to do. And sometimes it's just the simplicity of waiting. And as I shared earlier in the message, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's times when we need to be drawn away to listen. I'm not sure if I told you a verse that I learned for the first time, just about a month or two ago. Maybe I didn't get a chance to share it with you. It's Luke 8, verse 18. It's a verse there I never saw before, and it especially applies for me and what I need to do. Luke 8, verse 18 says this, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." I think too often I listen just so that I can put in my time and then tell you what I think about what you're saying or the story I want to share. I haven't been a good listener. Being a good listener is a gift. And Jesus tells us, after the parable of the sower, after the lamp on a stand that should give light to all who are in the house, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Listen to your family members or the people around you. And then when they ask your opinion or how you feel or how you're doing, let the light and love and reality of your faith shine through. But don't fake it. If you doubt, if you're worried, you can say, the Lord is God of heaven and earth, but I just feel far from him now, or I'm worried about things. Because that's what half of the Psalms are about. People coming before the Lord, but being honest about their hurts and doubts and fears. And that's how we're called to live. And we are called to allow ourselves to be like the disciples, taken aside by Jesus, even though we're walking resolutely, and be taught. And what's that teaching going to be? Well, it's going to be hard, hearing about Jesus and how he's going to be treated. But it ends with hope. We know how this story ends, people of God. So let's be drawn away and listen and learn and follow, or maybe be a leader. Let's tell of your deeds, because in 3 days later, he will rise, and the times, the challenges are changing, and we are called to see them. Not first. First see the Lord and his love and leading and purpose, and then respond. We're not called to be initiators, we're called to be responders. Respond to what God has done for us, what we see around us, and then let our light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, and being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. Amen, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for its power, its strength, the way it teaches and the way it comforts, the way it challenges and the way it fills, the only way in which that hole in our lives can be filled. And Lord, help us to remember that your word isn't just the printed word on the page of our Bibles. Your word became flesh through your Son, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And because your word became flesh and dwelt among us through Jesus, we have his death for our sins. Help us to respond in faith. And Lord, of course we have doubts and worries and wondering and hope and dreams. But Lord, help us to temper them first by saying, Thy will be done, not my will. Lord, help me to learn all the more that I need to be a person who listens more and speaks less. Lord, help us to be a people who respond to the needs around us, to uphold one another and others and our world in prayer. Help this place to always be a house of prayer and us to be a people of prayer. But Lord, help us also to hear when we need to set out resolutely, when we need to use our words, our hands, our feet to go and be the light and salt you call us to be. Help us to be a people who grow in knowledge and in wisdom and who feel correctly too. But also, Lord, to never think we can do it on our own. Help us to be very ready to say, Lord, I don't know. Help us to be very ready to say, Lord, forgive me, and to say that to others too. Forgive us. We don't know. But Lord, many things about tomorrow we don't seem to understand. But we know who holds the future, and we know who holds our hand. Amen. I think that last line I said was one of that's one of my dad's favorite hymns. And he's been in the hospital for 3 weeks, but just came home this past week. He had an infection, but it wasn't COVID-related at all. But I know that that's one of his favorite lines in the hymn. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. How many of you know that phrase? Remember that? And all of God's people said, Amen. Wow, it's time for the benediction, and I then shall live. Thank you, Leo, for playing today. Thank you, sound folks. Thank you, leaders in the church, elders and deacons, and those who coordinate things for us. And let's keep, where did Tony go? Did he sneak out? No, he's still here somewhere, isn't he? We'll pray especially for you this coming, oh, there you are, sneaking behind the door there. We'll pray especially for you this coming Friday, and make sure that you be a people who share with one another needs and joys and concerns. And we're going to stand for the benediction and then our closing song. It's been a privilege, pleasure to worship with you and lead in worship. Please stand. You are a people of faith and of hope and of love. You've come to worship and now go out to serve and receive the benediction. May the grace of God the Father and may the love of His Son Jesus Christ and may the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one now and forevermore. Amen.